I want to encourage each one of you that if you've never preached a sermon from behind a pulpit in your life or a lectern or whatever this is, you can know that you're glorifying God if you use what God has given you to use for His glory. Are you hearing me? I love this passage of Scripture. Would you turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 24? Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts 20, 24. Paul said this, and this is later on in his ministry. And I see two things going on here that I think needs, this goes with this, parallels the thought that I'm trying to share with you today. You got that? Now, listen to this. But I do not account my life as any value, nor precious as precious to myself, if only I may... I see two things going on here. Number one, if only I may finish my course, the ESV says. I like the translation better that says, if only I may finish my race. And then the second thing is, and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace. As I see it, Paul was saying two things, and this is absolutely encouraging and liberating. First of all of us have, in that second part of it, the same task, right? Every person who has come to know Jesus Christ personally, we all have the task of testifying to the grace that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul says something before that, and he personalizes it when he says, I want to finish my race and complete the task. So all of us are tasked, no matter what kind of venue we use to do it, of testifying to the glory of God's grace in the gospel. But we do not all have the same race. And sometimes I know well-meaning preachers and maybe missionaries and people will try to make you think you've got to do exactly what the Apostle Paul did. No, he was a church planter. That's what he did. You shouldn't run his race. You run your race and be faithful in your race. Don't try to be what somebody else is, whether it's the Apostle Paul or me. Heavens, no. Or anyone else. You run the race that God has given to you. There was a well-meaning young Christian man who visited a nursing home several years ago. I don't know if this is a true story. It's an anecdote that has come about from this last week. In the nursing home, he spoke to the senior citizens, and he was encouraging them to share their faith. And so he said to that group there, how many of them had led people to Christ? And he asked it in this way, how many people have you led to Christ? And one little old man raised his hand. He said, well, how many have you led to Christ? And the little man said, oh, 3 or 4 million. Three or four million? Scoffed the young man. Yes, smiled the old man. I was Billy Graham's Sunday school teacher when he was a boy. And I encouraged him to become a preacher. You know, isn't it great that you can go back and there are unnamed people the world doesn't know anything about them, but they had an impact in your life. And that's why I was saying a minute ago, run your race. Run your race. Even if it's working with those little kids that are running around and you don't think they're listening at all to you, you never know what God is going to do if you are faithful with what He has given you. Someone has said, you can count the apples on a tree, but can you count the apples in a seed? That's exactly the thought. So let me go back to the reading that we read out of Job a few moments ago. Do you know that your Redeemer lives? That's not rhetorical. Do you know that your Redeemer lives? Right now it's by faith. Someday it will be by sight. But there may be someone in this room who if you're honest with yourself deep down inside, I know I'm not sure. I hope. It needs to be more than that. If you know that your Redeemer lives, then are you living for His glory today? You were created for that. I end with this story. We'll transition into the Lord's Supper. It's a story that it's been out for a while. It is a true story about Billy Graham. Back in the year 2000, he was a young 81 years at that age. But he had started to feel the effects of what he thought was Parkinson's disease. And so he was asked by a group of business leaders, Christians from Charlotte, to come and speak to them. And he hesitated, and they said, we don't expect a major address. We just want you to come and let us honor you and just say a couple of words. And so when he was asked to come forward, he stepped to the podium, he looked at the crowd, and he told this story. He said, I'm reminded today of Albert Einstein, the great physicist who this month, it was way back then, has been honored by Time magazine as the man of the century. Einstein was once traveling from Princeton on a train when the conductor came down the aisle punching the tickets of every passenger. When he came to Einstein, Einstein reached into his vest pocket. He couldn't find his ticket. So he reached into his trousers pockets, and it wasn't there. So he looked in his briefcase, and he still couldn't find it. The conductor said, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it. So Dr. Einstein nodded in appreciation. And the conductor continued on down the aisle, punching the tickets. He was ready to go to the next car, but he turned around only to see Dr. Einstein down on his hands and knees looking under the seat for his ticket. So the conductor turned around and rushed back. He's, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. It's no problem. But Einstein looked at him and said, young man, I too know who I am. I just don't know where I'm going. Having told the story, Billy Graham continued, see the suit I'm wearing? It's a brand new suit. My wife, my children, my grandchildren are all telling me that I've gotten a little slovenly in my old age. I used to be a bit more fastidious. So I went out and bought a new suit for this luncheon and for one more occasion. You know what that occasion is? This is the suit in which I will be buried. I was wondering to myself today, I wonder if it was that suit. But when you hear I'm dead, I don't want you to immediately remember the suit I'm wearing. I want you to remember this. I not only know who I am, I also know where I'm going. Job was a real man. His life casts a long shadow into the New Testament. to picture one who would suffer, who would give it all up and suffer and then be blessed in the end of his life. We'll read a passage that will talk about that in just a second as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. But again, I've got to ask you, do you know who you are? Do you know your Redeemer? Do you know where you are going? Could I ask you to bow your head? And I do want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to ask for you to change your geography from one place in the building to another place. But I will ask you to consider moving in the most important place, and that is in your heart. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about Job's relationship to his adult children? He was not satisfied with outward conformity. He was concerned about their hearts. That's all that matters. If your heart is right, your outward will conform to what it needs to be. And so I would ask you this morning, do you know who you are? If you're outside of saving faith in Jesus Christ, would you consider that the Bible says you are lost in your trespasses and sins? Your life is turned away from God. You're not postured toward Him. But you can remedy that by turning. It's called repentance. By turning to Him. That's turning from a life of sin. Turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. And believing in Him and His work on the cross that was pictured for us this morning in the baptistry. You've never done that, would today be the day that you would do that? I'll pray for you in just a moment. You can know that there will be people here at the end of the service. We would love to visit with you about that. Those of us who do know Him, we know our Redeemer. I beg of you, even now, you would say, because of that, I will live my life for the rest of my days, long or short, to glorify my great God. Father, I pray that as You really through me have given this invitation for people to trust in Jesus Christ alone, that they would do that. I pray, Father, that You would open their eyes to see the reality of life without Christ, see the reality of the One who suffered complete loss, actually gave it up and went to the cross so that we could have life eternal, even Jesus Christ. And so I thank You and praise You that that One did. And that through believing in Him, we might have eternal life. Life in the Son. God, do Your work, as You always do, through the feeble lips and lives of those who proclaim the gospel. And we thank You. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.